SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It's a Football Friday on FFC all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. The mastermind is here. That is Joe Lisi. And as we get going here in this hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern time, Lisi, we're less than 2 weeks away from the 2024 NFL Draft. Exactly 2 weeks from this very moment, round number one and night number one will be in the books. We'll be handing out draft grades for who selected who. And was it a good pick? Was it a good selection based on team needs? And how does it change the future of the franchise? All of that to come, Joe, in just 14 days.
Yeah, and then you're going to get some more reports, positive, negative reports out of a certain player that potentially can maybe fluctuate their draft position, obviously change the odds in any capacity. This is where you start to get some real movement as it relates to the quarterbacks and even the star skill players, right? Wide receivers, we heard about Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. over the past week. Other players, I'm sure, will be front and center stage as it relates to the media hype, and we'll see how it plays out. I'm expecting a lot of trades just the way we had last year, Ben, so in a couple of weeks we'll be breaking it down.
Yeah, absolutely so, Lisa Guy. Absolutely so. And day two, with rounds two and three, will be 2 weeks from today in Detroit. Still very impactful picks to be made. And we'll talk about some prospects that maybe have slid down the draft board and what their outlook is for that second day of three of the 2024 NFL draft. Lisa, we did get word yesterday that three of the quarterbacks are going to be in Detroit in the green room for the 2024 NFL draft. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. We'll all be there. We'll look at their odds and the order they're supposed to be selected based on those numbers here later on in this hour. Let's make sure we welcome in that SiriusXM audience. Your channel 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio on SiriusXM. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. This is a Friday live right here on Football Full Circle. Lisi, did you catch this story? Tom Brady always keeping the idea that maybe his NFL career is not officially done. Maybe a slight window or door cracked to a return. On the Deep Cuts podcast, Tom Brady was asked about a potential return to the National Football League at a certain point. And Tom Brady said, quote, he was not opposed to it. I don't know if they are going to let me, this is Tom Brady here, if I become an owner of an NFL team, I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit like MJ coming back, I don't know if they would let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. It would be like a late season charge for a team that might need a quarterback in a contending position, as we saw a few times a season ago. Joe, do you put any stake into the idea that Tom Brady's football playing days might not actually be behind him?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, any guy that wins seven Super Bowls, right, or any player, right, Tom Brady being that guy, has the competitive nature in his blood, right? They love to compete, whether it be on the field or off of it. And the way he went out in terms of the playoff loss to the Dallas Cowboys, I think that desire still burns. It would have to be, I think, a perfect, ideal type of situation. But I think for a one-and-done, potentially to maybe win his eighth Super Bowl, I think Tom Brady would entertain it. Now, you know, what team is that right now, right here? Only time will tell, but I think if there was a boatload of money and a ton of skilled talent around him, Tom Brady potentially would entertain a return in 2024 and beyond.
Yeah, I don't really see it as a plausible thing. I think Tom Brady has played his last football in the National Football League, having retired just over a year ago on February 1st, 2023. For me, though, Lisi, I also don't see it plausible from the National Football League perspective. Tom Brady would have to go to a spot where he knows the system. He's played in two systems, in New England and in Tampa. Would a team turn over the keys to a 46-year-old quarterback who has never played in this system and has been out of football for probably 2 years at that point? I don't think so. I don't think it would be worth it. Would Tom Brady be an upgrade over insert X backup quarterback on contending team's roster? Maybe. Would he be better in that spot than the guy that's been there all year long? I'm not entirely sure. Of course, this is always going to be part of the speculation. And you understand from Tom Brady's perspective, he is a fierce competitor. He is one of, if not the best competitors to ever play the quarterback position in the history of the NFL. But there are so many complicated factors just in the football X's and O's and schematics of it all. And then in his life, as he said, he is in the approval process right now to be a part of the ownership group of the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't know if he could play as an owner, but it would probably be only for the Raiders. Has not been approved yet. It's a thorough process to approve anybody that adds on to an ownership group of these 32 NFL organizations, but seems to be working in a positive way. Not only that, but I wonder how a potential ownership stake would factor into Tom Brady's career as a sports broadcaster, which is supposed to start this summer for Fox Sports, for him to be the lead or number two lead analyst for Fox's NFL commentary. For me, Joe, there's just so many complicating factors. I don't believe Tom Brady is playing in the National Football League again.
You never know. I mean, look, you know, I'm telling you,
let me put it to you this way, Mr. Longshot. Let me put it to you this way. If I made the odds minus 2,000 for Tom Brady to never play another NFL snap, and the plus money price on the back end was plus 1,200, plus 950, would you wager on that Longshot price?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, because again, you know, it's not like he had a major injury. It's not like it's not like Tom Brady couldn't throw a football. I mean, you know, Tom Brady maybe wasn't as high of a quarterback when he left the game as he was when he won his last Super Bowl back 3 years ago, but I still think he is a huge upgrade to a number of teams with mediocre or average quarterback play. I mean, put it this way, if Joe Flacco could come back and toss four games of 300 yards, and he's 38 years old, Tom Brady, in the condition that he is in, could definitely come back for a season in the right scenario. And if they have a chance to contend for a potential championship or Super Bowl appearance, I think he would entertain it.
Yeah, I don't, but I hear your point as well. Again, that competitive spirit is always going to be there for Tom Brady. So that's where it stands at this moment. We'll see if anything becomes of it. Some other news and notes, Joe, around the National Football League. Nick Chubb, who was the last running back to really sign that long-term contract extension with his current team. Of course, we saw Saquon Barkley and some others rework some deals, but Nick Chubb, who's coming off the significant injury, has reworked his contract for 2024 with the Cleveland Browns. Instead of a salary cap hit of close to $16 million, that's now just $6.2 million for Cleveland. And the running back can earn up to $12.2 million next season based on performance levels. Again, as he comes back from that season-ending injury he suffered week number two of this 2023 campaign. A good rework deal for Cleveland, who's got a lot of money to spend in other places, and to keep Nick Chubb on the roster.
Yeah, and they want to run the football, right? Even though they had success throwing the football at the end of the regular season, their bread and butter is pounding the rock and working off of play action, and that's what Nick Chubb gives them.
Yeah, and you can hope that Nick Chubb recovers from what is his second significant knee injury in his football playing career, set to make a base salary of close to $12 million in the final year of his contract upcoming in 2024. Some NFL draft conversations coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. We are less than 2 weeks away from the start of the 2024 NFL Draft. 2 weeks from this very moment, night number one will be in the books, that opening round in Detroit. And number one overall is more than likely slated to be Caleb Williams. Now, nothing is a guarantee, but this is as close as you will get, minus 10,000 for Caleb Williams to be the first overall pick made by the Chicago Bears. Joe, we just heard it in the Sports Grid News update. We shared it at the start of this show here on Football Full Circle. Three quarterbacks are set to attend the NFL draft in the Motor City live in person. Caleb, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. And where things stand right now, they are more than likely the first three quarterbacks off the board. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May in that order, maybe 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, unbelievable when you look at it. It's possible. I don't see it. I think, if anything, maybe it's J.J. McCarthy. I don't think Drake May is deserving. I've said that all offseason, and I continue to beat that drum. I'm sure that, you know, a team potentially might value him in that area. But, again, based off performance, I just don't see it. I think clearly Caleb and Jaden Daniels are number one and number two. And we saw Will Levis sit around for 32 picks last year, so you can never say just because Drake May is invited that he's a clear-cut top five pick doesn't mean that a team or teams will think that he's overvalued and maybe he is the guy that potentially drops. So, or maybe it's McCarthy, maybe that's why he's not, you know, coming in regards to being invited. So we'll see how this plays out. These are the mind games and the chess matches of the NFL draft, but again, I think you'll have one of these players drop significantly, and we'll see how that affects the odds market throughout the NFL draft coverage.
Listen, the odds market is going to move. Where it stands right now, less than 2 weeks away, you might be thinking, all right, less than 2 weeks, they've probably got it pretty solidified by this moment. Teams have their draft boards. They know what decision they are making. And maybe that's the truth, but the odds market is not going to stop shifting here in these next 13 days until the opening round of the NFL draft. You might even be thinking, all right, in that final draft week, 5, 6 days left, we're pretty solidified in which way we are going. All right, 48 hours out, these odds have stopped moving. No siree. We saw drastic movement up until about half an hour before we got to the very start of the 2023 NFL draft last year, when C.J. Stroud vaulted back to be the favorite to go second overall at a minus 2,000 price. And of course, as they say, the rest is history. So even where the odds are right now is more than likely not where they end. However, I disagree with my co-host, the mastermind that he is, Joe Lisi. I do believe quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and I do believe the order is starting to become a little bit clearer at this moment. Caleb Williams, first overall, minus 10,000. Second overall, Jaden Daniels, a minus 170 favorite. And third overall, Drake May, who is now a minus money favorite once again at minus 110. I know why Joe is not convinced that Drake May is worthy of that top three pick or a top five pick or a top 10 pick. I understand his rationale. I just always have believed that it's been Caleb, Drake, and then now Jaden Daniels emerging here in the top three as well. We do this exercise often, Joe, where the year before a quarterback draft class, we often look to the year upcoming and say, all right, those are the guys. I would tank my franchise to just have the chance of drafting that guy first or second or third overall. And then in the draft cycle, we start to forget that we once said that. And we're like, ah, that guy's a little bit shaky and inconsistent, and we don't love his footwork in the pocket and so on and so forth. So when I look at it, Joe, it's Caleb, it's Jaden, it's Drake, it's 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I mean, again, we disagree on this, and this will be a good conversation to have on the 25th in regards to the first round coverage, right? Because you're going to get some trades, you're going to get some teams that maybe hype up a certain player, and this is where you get market fluctuation. Again, you know, to assume that three quarterbacks get taken overall in the top five means there's three quarterbacks that can come in immediately and just change the face and be that guy for the next 5 to 10 seasons. That is the difference, and why I honestly believe there's only two, and it's Caleb and Jaden, based off the performances and potentially based off the upside. Now, can JJ and maybe Penix turn into that guy? I think so. I think Penix is a guy that will definitely be taken, I believe, in the top 15. But again, you know, teams have a certain rationale, and they have a certain methodology about how they want to attack, you know, a certain market, best player available, you know, upside. And the dollars and cents have to equate to that as well. So, again, That is where the splitting of hairs comes down, because, you know, we've talked about, I believe, an offensive lineman could be taken in terms of that third spot. Joe Alt, a team trained up, they value and covet the offensive line that much more than potentially a franchise quarterback, especially if you believe there's only two franchise guys in the class as opposed to maybe six, like, you know, a lot of people believe. That's where you get the fluctuation, and then that's where you get the movement, Ben.
So let me ask you it this way, Joe. If it does go in the fashion that you believe it is, right? Not Drake May, third overall, that it goes Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, 1 and 2. What do you think is more likely to happen at third overall? The Patriots trade out of that spot, or the Patriots were to take J.J. McCarthy, not Drake May?
Well, what if the Patriots, you know, go in a different direction? What, you know, Jerod Mayo's a defensive guy. What, we saw D'Amico Ryans get his guy, Will Anderson, in terms of the top three last year. What if Jerod says, you know what, we believe Jaden's our guy. We can't get him. We're going best available. And you know what, I want to start with a fresh face on the defense. We go Dallas Turner or someone else. You can't say or rule that out, especially if he doesn't, or the organization doesn't believe that J.J. is that guy. Let's not forget. They rolled the dice with Mac Jones a few years ago, and how did that, you know, fare? So again, there's always that methodology. Just because we hear things that JJ could be taken third overall and JJ's got the upside and JJ's pro day was the best ever, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the way it's going to play out, though, Ben.
Yeah, sure. The way that I think, it's going to be three quarterbacks, 1, 2, and 3. And I still believe Drake May has the upper hand and the advantage, and rightfully so, over J.J. McCarthy. However, I will mention, as we see these odds shift, even if it's by a dollar or a couple of cents, Drake May is the favorite to go third overall now in the minus money once again. Not hefty minus money, not a minus 10,000 price like Caleb Williams has to go first overall, but Drake May at minus 110 is the favorite to be that third overall pick. Now it's J.J. McCarthy, who has the second best price at plus 250 in front of even Jaden Daniels at plus 270. For the good portion, Joe, of this month and a half of the NFL draft cycle, really from before the draft combine in Indianapolis in late February to where we are now here approaching the middle of April, it's been that mix between Drake May being a favorite to go second overall and then Jaden Daniels going in front. But those two numbers and those two quarterbacks being 1 and 2 in each of those markets interchangeably for the last 6 weeks. Now J.J. McCarthy has that second best price to be the third overall pick. Currently the Patriots hold that selection.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, do you buy the movement? Then you know what? The books just know and then just bet the top three that way. I don't believe that. I think the books make the odds based off of information, and they also base it off of, you know, sucking people in. And again, you know, we've seen this with Will Levis. We saw with Malik Willis. Malik Willis, 2-3 years ago, was supposed to be and favored to be the first quarterback off the board after his pro day. How'd that work out? I mean, Will Levis was a shoo-in to be in the first round. I mean, and he falls to number 32 overall. How did that happen? I mean, the odds suggested that he was there. So you can't just always say because the odds have them there, that's a guarantee.
Sure.
I mean, they put out information to make people bite and obviously sometimes go the other way.
For sure. The NFL draft markets are as volatile of an odds market as you will see. Everything else can be quantifiable, a game spread, a point total, whatever that is, because of the actual models and algorithms that produce these numbers. It's not necessarily the same case in the NFL draft. More coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, less than 2 weeks out from the opening round, night number one of the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit. Lisi, as we look at the first round, and we start to use the odds to kind of put together a mock draft, or at least of what we see as the likely path through the top 5, top 10, top 15, and all 32 selections made at in the opening round on Thursday, April 25th. I ask you this. What would be the biggest surprise to you to see in the top five or the top 10? What would be something that you're keeping an eye out on, whether it be a team trading up or back, a prospect making their way down the list on a little bit of a slide? What would be one that would really catch your eye that maybe you're thinking could happen?
Well, I mean, the Drake May thing would bring a smile to my face, number one. And I think, you know, don't be shocked if we see Joe Alt or Dallas Turner in the top three. You know, I think that's a potential as well, especially if one of these teams value or covered best available player. There's that potential. I'm not sold on the quarterbacks outside the top two. I think the other question as well is what happens with the wide receivers? Is it Neighbors? Is it Marvin Harrison? It seems like it'll be Harrison, but could it be Neighbors? You know, could somebody trade up to get Neighbors over Harrison? I'd be shocked about that as well, because of how we've heard he's the best player potentially on the board. And that's a pretty big statement. He didn't go to the combine. He didn't do the interview. He didn't do a pro day. And yet, you know, everybody's solidified that this is the, you know, top wide receiver off the board. And I understand the upside and I understand what he did, but there's still the negativity, you know, in terms of that. And does that affect that? Maybe Neighbors does steal it in some capacity. I think those, for me, are the biggest storylines. And then don't be shocked if we get like Pinnix in the top 10. I think that's something else you have to keep an eye out on.
Yeah, those would be big surprises. I agree. All of what you said, I think, would be a big surprise based on what we are seeing in NFL draft circles and what the odds are laying out here. If what Joe Lisi just laid out happens, you're going to have a lot of opportunity to make some plus money hits by the time we get to Thursday, April 25th. When I look at it, Joe, I think one of the biggest keys is going to be J.J. McCarthy. That is the number one narrative for me, the number one storyline to monitor. Where does J.J. McCarthy go, and what is the team that drafts him? Because if it's a team moving up, if it's a team waiting, if it's a team that makes a surprise pick, like McCarthy over May at third overall by the New England Patriots, I think J.J. McCarthy is the most pivotal piece that can really change the direction of the NFL draft one way or the other. And that's why I think when you look at J.J. McCarthy and his prices, minus 220 to be a top five pick, but the team to take him, the still favorite of that, is plus 125, the Minnesota Vikings. But the Patriots have seen their price in this market grow shorter and shorter, plus 270. And as we shared to start off this show, McCarthy is plus 250 now, with the second best number to be that third overall pick. If that happens, I think it has huge ramifications. We expect a team maybe to be on the move, like Minnesota, to go draft J.J. McCarthy. If Drake May falls, does that completely change the rest of the top five, of the top 10? That, I think, is the most integral piece of this 2024 NFL draft. Who takes J.J. McCarthy and where?
Yeah, and then the pressure will be on them, right? The scrutiny, if he goes top three, the scrutiny's going to be there right from the start of the year, you know. And if he goes to New York, like we've heard some potential reports, right, even though we think they're going to go wide receiver, then all of a sudden the narrative becomes the Zach Wilson, the Aaron Rodgers type of pressure, the Daniel Jones. What does that mean in terms of Brian Daboll and the staff? So that is interesting as well. What team does he go to? You know, do they start him immediately? What is the expectation? Are they in a rebuild, or are there playoff, you know, type of implications to get there right out of the get-go? And if you're going to Minnesota, a team that loses Kirk Cousins and has Justin Jefferson, at least for now, you know, the best wide receiver, one of the top three, what does that do in terms of the pressure to start him immediately? I think that's the scrutiny as well when you draft a player. We talked about it with Will Levis. We talked about it, obviously, with Malik Willis as well, both for the Tennessee Titans. They got their starts later rather than sooner.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely so. The one thing about Will Levis, though, that I will say, his draft stock was on such a critical rise, and then he was the one to slide. where the quarterbacks who we expected to be top five, top 10 all along ended up actually being there, despite the Will Levis market movement that made us question if C.J. Stroud would be that second quarterback selected last year, if Will Levis somehow, some way might go in front of Anthony Richardson. What ended up happening is actually what the odds kind of were predicting from very early on in the draft cycle. And what the odds are currently predicting here is not for Drake May to fall, but for Drake May to be that third overall pick and in front of J.J. McCarthy. Now, those odds might move, but that's really been where it has stayed for most of this draft cycle. So just something to keep in mind, because I get what you mean, Joe. There's going to be a quarterback that takes a slide in some form or fashion, but I don't really think it's going to be Drake May. And if the comparison is to Will Levis, Will Levis was one that saw his stock rise dramatically and then actually kind of peter out to what we expected, not necessarily a first-round pick. Just something to keep in mind for the quarterback conversation.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, Ben. Hang on. Let me ask you this. Can you make the correlation between McCarthy? Because if this was the NFL draft at the start of the season, nobody was suggesting J.J. McCarthy was in the narrative of Daniels, Caleb, or even Drake May at that standpoint. Right? So, I mean, you can make the assessment, too. Forget, you know, as we're talking about Drake May, that, you know, there's similarities to the rise of J.J. McCarthy over the past 3 months, you know, where we've seen it with Will Levis, too. Right? The hype. Okay, he won a national championship, but if you did this assessment about, you know, pre-number ones in regards to the top quarterbacks, you'd have Pinnix, you'd have potentially Jaden Daniels, Caleb, Drake May. J.J. would not even be mentioned as a potential top three pick until the last month and a half, 2 months of the season year.
Right. It's a really good point. Again, I don't believe that J.J. McCarthy is going to go in the top five. He is favored to do so at minus 220. This does not mean that I believe J.J. McCarthy is a bad quarterback or not have a successful NFL season. I just don't see it being a top five pick at this moment. However, I do think Minnesota trades up to get him. That's what I have already bet. And I actually have a little bit on J.J. McCarthy at fifth overall for the Vikings to trade with the Chargers, who have that number at this moment, that selection. Knowing the ties to Jim Harbaugh and how he speaks very highly of J.J. McCarthy, I had a little sprinkle on McCarthy being the fifth overall pick a while back. Again, I don't know if it happens, but that's where I see J.J. McCarthy being a top five guy if the Vikings trade up, and only if the Vikings trade up to get him. But Lisa, we have three quarterbacks right now that are going to be in consideration for a first-round draft pick. We have four quarterbacks at the moment that are favored to be top five picks. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy. But two others are certainly going to be in consideration for the opening round. Bo Nix, who was actually favored to go to the Denver Broncos. The Broncos draft 12th. It's a minus 120 price for the Broncos to be the team to draft Bo Nix. And for Michael Penix Jr., the Raiders are the favorites at plus 380. The Raiders have that 13th overall pick, and the Vikings at plus 470 alongside the Broncos are right there with the second shortest price. Nothing in minus money potentially, but there is a thought that Michael Penix Jr. could still be in the top half of the opening round of this 2024 NFL draft. Joe, do you think we see all six quarterbacks, all six of them, be drafted in the first 32 picks in that first round?
Oh, that is crazy. I think there's the potential. Again, you know, Bo Nix, love him, hate him, he's still, you know, valued, right? I mean, a guy completed 78% of his passes in college. I mean, you know, over the past couple of seasons, he had a phenomenal completion percentage. That translates to the NFL. You look at Mac Jones, he got drafted in terms of the top 15. Joe Burrow, we know where he went 3-4 years ago. So, again, so, yeah, based off of that, that to me is like the biggest thing, like, you know, when we talk, and we know about the downside of Bo Nix, you know, in regards to Auburn, right? But we're talking Oregon here, and we're talking, you know, completion percentage. We're talking the ability to step up in huge environments. And just think about it. 80% completion percentage for one full season against elite competition, and Drake May that had 50% against NC State and 44% against Clemson. I mean, so if you're telling me Nix, you know, okay, he's not a top 10 talent, but he's definitely a top 32 based off of that.
Yeah, again, I do think there's a potential for all three or all six of these quarterbacks to be drafted in the opening round. For instance, Joe, since 1997, that's when the NFL draft in this structure has looked like it has. We have not ever seen six quarterbacks taken in the first round. We've seen five a few times, notably 2018, and as of recently, 2021. There was a thought last year, Lisi, if you remember, that we could see three to four to five quarterbacks taken in the opening round of the 2023 NFL draft. Because there was so much steam on Will Levis and even Hendon Hooker, that maybe five quarterbacks would go in the first round. I remember when the quarterback prop market came up, over under 4.5 QBs, and the over had the juice early on to have at least five QBs taken in the first round. We'll continue that conversation by looking at the history of the quarterback position in the current structure of the seven-round format of the NFL draft on the other side of the break, live right here on Football Full Circle. What will happen in the 2024 NFL draft? We're less than 2 weeks away from finding out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. So, Lisi, let's have the conversation. How many quarterbacks are we going to see taken in the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft? Again, the current seven-round format, as it has looked every year since 1997, that's been the modern draft era, if you will. And the most quarterbacks we've ever seen taken in the first round is five, as recently as 2021. Of course, that ended up not being a great quarterback draft class, as four out of those five guys are not going to play another snap for the team that drafted them less than 4 years into their National Football League careers. 2018, we saw five quarterbacks taken in the first round. And way back in 1999, we also saw five quarterbacks taken in the first round, all five QBs selected in the top 12 picks. Lisi, there is a chance we set a record pace this year with six quarterbacks taken in the first round in less than 2 weeks. Do you think we will see all six?
Yeah, I do. And the reason why I say that is, again, Bo Nix, 45 touchdowns, three interceptions, 77% completion percentage, did it in back-to-back games against Washington. No, he didn't win. No, he had a bad career for the most part at Auburn, but he's resurrected his career. He's a mobile quarterback. He's mature. And, again, love him or hate him, he still has value. I mean, for a quarterback on a five-year deal, rookie deal, he should be in the top 32 when we've seen some of these guys just get catapulted into the situation. If we're talking last year and Will Levis at the top of the second round, Bo Nix, based off of his performance in back-to-back seasons in Eugene, definitely deserves to be a top 32 pick.
And listen, the way that it stands right now for Bo Nix, Joe, I think that will be the case. We'll have first-round odds out at a certain point to be a top 32 pick in the 2024 NFL draft. But I think Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. are probably at least at one point, Joe, going to have a minus next to their name. Because right now, the team that is minus money to take Bo Nix is the Denver Broncos. And they draft 12th overall at minus 120. Could that be Denver taking Bo Nix into the second round? I guess that could be a part of the consideration. I don't really see that being the case. And actually, as I see it right now, I don't believe Denver has a second round selection in the 2024 NFL draft. The team that is favored to take Michael Penix Jr. is the Las Vegas Raiders, who draft 13th overall. Some might say that could be 44th overall for Vegas taking Penix Jr. in the second round. But again, the way that that stands, it would more than likely read 13th overall. Joe, there's a chance, again, I don't think it's going to happen, but there's a chance, not not only will we see six QBs taken in the first round, but all six quarterbacks in the first 13 picks, in the first 16 picks, with Seattle drafting 16th overall as well. And, of course, the natural ties between Ryan Grubb, the offensive coordinator now for the Seahawks, who was Michael Penix Jr.'s offensive coordinator in Seattle, but with the Washington Huskies these past 2 years. Lisa, when you think that number is set, right? We talked about the over-under for total quarterbacks taken in the first round. Last year, it opened at 4.5. The over had the hefty juice. By the time we got closer to draft day, it was under, having the big juice at 4.5 QBs. We ended up with only 3 in that opening round. Do you think the odds makers will set the over-under for quarterbacks taken in the first round at 5.5?
Yeah, I do. I think we might fluctuate. Yeah, I think they will be, you know, 5.5, and I take a shot on the over. I'm just looking, and, you know, maybe I'm thinking ahead, but I'm even looking, forget top 32 picks. I'm looking at top of the second round. So you have, you know, the Patriots that pick 34th overall. If they don't go quarterback at number 3 and trade out, do they potentially move up from 34 into the top 32 to get, you know, maybe a Bo Nix in terms of that situation? You can never say never, right? You got Arizona there. You got Washington again, okay? Assuming that they take Jaden Daniels, they're not going to take a quarterback. You got Tennessee again. I mean, you know, there are a number of teams. You got Carolina. What's the situation with Bryce Young? I mean, you need to make that decision sooner rather than later. I think it'll pan out with their new coach because he's an offensive mind, but you can never say never in regards to these teams that pick at the top of the second round to say, you know, what, let's roll the dice and get, you know, a quarterback on the cheap, and maybe he could sit, or, you know, in that situation. That's where the rookies, deal really helps some of these franchises.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will find it interesting, Joe, if all six of these quarterbacks, again, let's just play it out, right? Let's say all six of these QBs do go in the opening round. Who's the next quarterback off the board, right? We haven't even really, dive through all the other guys that are potentially available. Jack Plummer out of Louisville. Like, how deep
Rattler,
does it go?
Rattler, yes, Milton.
Rattler. That's a good point. Joe Milton, we'll see what he has available. It's a
Hartman,
good point, though, right? Where,
you know, Hartman is in there. You know, Jordan Travis, do you take an outlier? You know, I don't think Jordan Travis is an NFL guy, but, maybe you're looking there. I think Joe Milton is that guy where, you know, you talk project, second, third round because of the big arm. That's a perfect spot, right? So if you want a veteran guy, Hartman, right? But if you want a guy that, you know, just lit it up at the Senior Bowl, and the Senior Bowl does hold a lot of weight with these GMs and scouts, right? We saw the kid from Richmond, I can't think of his name, the kid with the Giants that didn't pan out because he, a few years ago, because of his Senior Bowl, he blew right into the third round. But what I'm talking about is Rattler had a great Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
So does that propel him potentially into the second round? That is a possibility, Ben. There's not much after the top six. It is a significant drop off outside of Milton. There's really no NFL caliber arm, I would say, that I would reach up in the second round. I need that guy outside of Joe Milton because of the physical attributes.
Yeah, Kyle LaLetta, Joe, is who you're thinking of Richmond, that the Giants drafted in the fourth round of 2018. That did not pan out, of course. Yeah, I don't know how many quarterbacks we're going to see in a day number 2 and in a day number 3. I don't know if any of the other guys you mentioned, Joe Milton, I don't think Sam Hartman's going to be drafted. Maybe in the seventh round, I don't know. A Spencer Rattler, like maybe Rattler and maybe Milton in day number 2. But again, those are more projects that you would think, and it is a drastic difference, right, between investing a first-round pick, certainly a top 5 or top 10 pick into a quarterback, than even taking one in day number 2 and day number 3. You have a hope that maybe they can develop into something, but you are not banking on it by any means. With that being said, though, right, Will Levis is the face of the franchise now in Tennessee, and although he was a second-round pick, the second pick of the second round, he has just as much expectation on him, Joe, as any the quarterback taken in the first round. He is supposed to be the face of the franchise, and if he's not, then Tennessee has to reroute and change course.
Yeah, and then you know what? I'll tell you this. They are dead in regards to drafting a quarterback because you had three shots. You try to get Ryan Tannehill, didn't really pan out, and he didn't take you to the promised land, even though he was a number one, playoff seed. They lost to Joe Burrow, never really lived up to expectations. One AFC championship appearance, that's not good enough for the money that you paid, right? And you didn't even get to the Super Bowl. Then you roll the dice with Malik Willis. He might not even be on the roster by the end of the season, right? And now Will Levis, second-round draft pick. And you could say, well, he was a second-rounder. But guess what? Jalen Hurts was a second-rounder, and he took his team a Super Bowl. So you can't say that certain teams get it right and certain teams fail. And right now, it's still out there for Will Levis. But if he does not live up to expectations, Tennessee as a franchise has done a terrible job getting quarterbacks under center.
For sure. Listen, Tennessee is also investing a lot on the offensive side of the football this year. They bring back DeAndre Hopkins. Of course, they add Tony Pollard, which was a weird move after letting go of Derrick Henry. We expect them to do something on the offensive line at 7th overall. Joe Alt to pair with their first pick last year in Peter Skoronski out of Northwestern. It's an interesting time, Joe. It really is. And Tennessee is investing to, protect their quarterback, to uplift their quarterback, which is what you would want if you think that guy is the face of your franchise. But to put it all into context, the Titans win total for 2024 is 6.5, and the under has the hefty juice at -134.
Yeah, so think about that, right? So then what does that say? If they underachieve in year one with a new head coach, right, what do you need to see out of Will Levis to say this is the guy? For me, I need to see Jordan Love type of numbers. I need to see Baker Mayfield type of numbers at the end of the regular season. And what I mean by that is Jordan Love threw for basically 275 yards per game over the last 2 months of the regular season. He only had three interceptions. Baker Mayfield was chucking the ball like he was playing Kansas in Lawrence, back at the end of the regular season. 290 yards per game. If Will Levis is only throwing for 220, 215, and this team still can't win matchups and games, is he going to be really the quarterback that you want to rely on? I mean, when the game is on the line, do you want to say Will Levis is the guy to lead us from behind? We need a score. It's Will Levis. He couldn't be that guy at Penn State. He couldn't be that guy at Kentucky. Well, you want him to lead the NFL? That is the question marks that when we talk about face of the franchise and quarterback of the future, these are the questions that they have to answer on the football field, and you need to make that assessment sooner rather than later. 2 years is more than enough, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely so, right? You have to show that promise. You don't really have that large of a shelf life. There needs to be those things that have the redeeming qualities that bring you back. And at a certain point, you know, like we saw with Justin Fields, right? In a year number three, there were glimpses in Chicago, but even both of us as Fields guys could not make the argument really there was enough sustainable success, right? Consistency enough at the highest level of being that face of the franchise quarterback for it to be a done deal. He would be back for years. Number four, and certainly, here we are with Justin Fields in Pittsburgh looking for greener pastures with a new organization, and the Bears set to take Caleb Williams first overall. You can have glimpses, but glimpses run out very, very quickly. You need to prove and truly prove consistently, week over week, game by game, that you are the guy as the face of the franchise. That will be Will Levis's task. That will be Bryce Young's task here in a year number two. CJ Stroud has already proven that, and we'll see what Anthony Richardson does in what is de facto his first full year in the National Football League. Not a rookie, but his really kind of rookie year if he hopefully is healthy and plays the majority of it, only playing in five games during his rookie campaign last year in 2023. And that's going to be the benchmark for all the quarterbacks that we expect to go early and often in 2024, right, Joe? Caleb Williams is not just because he was the first overall pick and a -10,000 favorite to do it. He's not going to have the duration of his rookie contract if it doesn't work out in Chicago. He'll have the benefit of the doubt as that first overall pick, but he's got to prove it. Same thing goes for Jaden Daniels and Drake May and JJ McCarthy and Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. and so on and so forth.
No, you're right, and that's why I do believe there's six, because when you look at the quarterbacks that we just talked about the drop-off, you can make the argument, hey, Bo Nix won, Michael Penix won, right? All top six of the quarterbacks, with the exception of May, have won at the college level, and that is why I think that's a huge outlier to say, you know what, we'll get the sixth quarterback in the first round.
Yeah, listen, I think Drake May has done well at the collegiate level. He's had some games where he looks the part of a quarterback who can play in the National Football League. Has he won at the level of a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix Jr.? No. Has Caleb Williams really? No. So we'll talk about this further on the other side of the break here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We round out our week together on Football Full Circle, less than 2 weeks out from the 2024 NFL Draft. And as we look at things, Joe, throughout this draft, there are odds to be a top 10 pick. You have brought up the name Michael Penix Jr. a few times today. He is at 37-1, plus 3,700 to be a first, to be a top 10 selection. Do you think there's a chance that Michael Penix Jr. cashes that big ticket?
Yeah, why not? I mean, again, you know, if this was last year, preseason, we would be talking about Penix as potentially being one of the best quarterbacks, top five potentially, right? And what did he do, you know, based off performance? Nothing. He stepped up. He led his team to a national championship game. Did he have the best national championship game? No. But again, based off the body of work, I still think he's a top 10 talent. I mean, he runs a 4.5 40. Does he have as strong of an arm or as potentially Caleb? Maybe not. But I still think his capability and productivity at college warrants him as a top 10 selection. And again, I think with the right team, he's going to excel this season.
Yeah, I look forward, Joe, to you and I working together on draft night. We're going to have some great Sports Grid draft, NFL draft coverage that we'll detail for you in the next few weeks. It's going to be an all-star cast and crew, and it'll be good to see all of this start to materialize, to see these numbers that we've been looking at and all the mock drafts we have seen in the last couple of weeks and months, frankly, start to come out. And then we use the mastermind's knowledge of college football with the NFL and get all those perspectives. It's the beauty of the NFL draft, the matching of the prospect that we have come to know in college football, their individual talent with how they can elevate now an NFL franchise. How does it look for this team moving forward? That was a quick hour, but a fun hour. Live right here on Football Full Circle. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We'll talk to you on Monday, again, starting at noon Eastern time. But until then, until we say hello again on Sports Grid Radio, have a great weekend.